along the way.
And I have to remember to do one thing. I always forget to
turn that on. Now you can hear me better, right? So, well, they do call me Uncle Roger. The kids all do anyway. I've been called a lot of things, but hopefully most of them have always been nice. With our ministry with the kids. And by the way, please pray for Wednesday. We always start anywhere from 15 to 20 kids, and Wednesday will be our first class here. And then we'll be following up the following week, because we'll be meeting the first week of Wednesday every month. After that, there was some conflicts in the school programming, so we had to rearrange this month's date. But we'll be bringing them here this coming Wednesday, and looking forward to that. And just pray that everything works out smooth and everything goes well. We're very excited about our lesson this year. It's how God gives us different things. Like our very first lesson is the thing that He blesses us with most of all is His Word. And you know, His written Word and then His living Word that demonstrates what His written Word is all about. So please pray for the kids that come. Lives will be changed. They'll be encouraged and they'll grow in their faith as they come. I consider it an honor and a privilege to be with you today and to be able to share your Word. I feel like I'm filling some very big shoes and a big body because I'm much smaller than Pastor Casey. But I appreciate the privilege to be here. Appreciate his faithful ministry here as well, and also the ministry and the faithfulness of you folks. One of the things I get excited about and I really like to do is to find interesting little characters and look at them and who they are as they're discovered in the Bible. Unknown characters, but characters who can help us understand better what it means to be called by Jesus Christ and to be a follower of His. And there are a lot of them. You know, it's not just those big names out there. Many of them, their name isn't even on the list of in Hebrews 11. I want to call your attention to one of them today. A little-known guy. Who is this person? The name. Some people even mispronounce the name a little bit. It's interesting as we look at organizations, we look at events that go on, the large events and organizations, we see the big picture quite often. Whether it's a big major company, whether it's a campaign, whether it's a school or whatever it is, you see the big picture. But we don't see a lot of the little things that go on behind the scenes to be able to make that big picture, that organization, keep going. And that's what excites me about looking in the Bible and finding these characters. Many times the way God's Word kept going out was because of some of these little, quote, unquote, insignificant people that never heard of this person before. And they may only have, like in the case of our guy today, very few verses in the Bible that mention his name. But oh, what a tremendous lesson we can learn from them about the calling that God has on us. The Bible's filled with these people that are there. Exodus 17 reminds us of how when the Israelites were fighting the Amalekites under Joshua's leadership, victory comes as long as Moses holds up his hand. But if you've ever tried to hold out your arms for very long, after a while they get tired. I remember in the military when I was there, one of the things we had to do is hold our arms out like this. And it seemed like it was an eternity. And you just felt the weight more and more and more on your arms. Well, in this case, if Moses dropped his arms, the Israelites would be losing the battle. So what happened was you had two guys, you had Aaron and Hur come alongside and hold up. Hur? H-U-R. Who's this guy? Never heard of him before. But without him helping hold up Moses, the battle would have been lost. In Numbers 11, it tells us of many Israelites for Moses. There were so many of them, it was difficult for him to handle all the tasks and the counsel and everything that came to him with their complaints. And his father-in-law comes to him and says, hey, you really need some help here. You need to find some good guys to come alongside of you that can help you in this path. And they find those men. Men, we hardly even know who they are. You know? And his father-in-law, only mentioned a few times, but there he's there to give this counsel to Moses that can help Moses out. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 12, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift the other up. And in Acts 13, it tells us how the early church had several deacons and elders to do the work of the church so that the apostles could carry on the work they were called to do. But a lot of these people, we have no idea who they were. But yet they were called to fill that task, to assist in the furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. So all these little, like I say, unknown people, God knows. Like you and me, we think, who am I? Who am I? But God knows you. And he's got a task for you to do that can be assisting in the furthering of the gospel. Today we want to look at one of these guys that's involved in Paul's ministry. His name is Tychicus. How many of you have ever heard of Tychicus? All right. Because you're a good scholar of the Bible. But yeah. I know God. Woo. Some people can't even pronounce his name and they say Tychicus. I can't even pronounce it. But he plays a very important role in terms of bringing the gospel and encouraging another group of Christians. I want to call your attention to him because I think we can learn a lot about what God wants us to do as followers of Jesus Christ and how we too can do the same kind of thing. Before we do, I'd like to have you come with me now before the Lord and let's pray. Lord, it is such a privilege and honor for me to be here today and to stand here and to share your word. I'm unworthy to do that. God, I thank you for that privilege. I thank you for giving us your word and the power of it and the encouragement of it. Open our eyes and our ears to hear you today. Not man, not me, but may they hear you. May they be encouraged and challenged by what you have to say to them today. Thank you, Father, for this day. Just your word will give you the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Paul was a prisoner in Rome. This is the first of his two times that he'd been a prisoner there. He has with him some friends. In fact, when he left Ephesus earlier, seven others went along with him there. These are men who have, really, they're risking their lives. They're giving up an awful lot to go along with him and to be associated with Paul. Because you remember, Paul's in prison for preaching the gospel about Jesus. And they're identifying with him. So they stand the same threat of being put in prison as well and suffering the way he is. So they're willing to make those sacrifices, willing to give up what they have. They journeyed with him on three missionary trips, some of them have. Acts 20 verse 4 says they are the ones who took an offering to the suffering Christians in Jerusalem during the time of persecution, and those Christians in Jerusalem were suffering greatly. They had left their home, their family, their jobs, their friends, the church fellowship they were a part of, all to be able to help and assist Paul in his ministry. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Here we're going to discover this little-known legend, a character of the Bible. I like to say he's really a hero because of what he does and what he teaches. Colossians chapter 4, just a couple of verses, starting at verse 7. Tychicus, and this is the Apostle Paul writing, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you in this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort this tell us about this guy? What does God say the kind of things that we should be exemplifying and demonstrating in our life as followers of Jesus Christ? So let's kind of break it down a little bit and see. First thing we notice there in verse 7, Tychicus was a dear, beloved brother. Paul addresses him as a dearly beloved brother. Now, the word that's used first there, in terms of beloved, is agape. That's a very special, intimate term. Refers to one highly regarded, deeply respected, deeply and greatly loved. Choose the kind of love that God has for you and I, that agape kind of love. It's one of the greatest of the types of love that the Greeks had. They had the philia, and they had the erotic, but the agape was the strongest type. Very strong kind of love. And so Paul is saying, I'm sending this guy that's dearly beloved to me. Man, I really love this guy. He's really special to me. The second word he uses, though, is he uses the word brother. And the word that's used here for brother is adelphos. Now, this doesn't refer to a physical brother. Not refer to, you know, the brother that Paul has that was born through his mother. No. It's a different kind of brother. It's more of a spiritual brother, one who, through faith in Jesus Christ, is a member of the family of God. And I think that's important for us to catch. Because who are we, as we'll see in a minute? Who are you and I? If we have put our faith in Jesus Christ as our one and only Savior, we're a member of the family of God. Brothers, now, I grew up in a church that didn't use that terminology. It wasn't until I went to Baptist Seminary and went into pastoral ministry that I began to hear this word brother. And first time somebody called me that, I kind of looked and it caught me off guard. Huh? What? Oh. Until I began to realize what they were talking about. You know, he wasn't calling me his literal brother, but rather spiritual brother because of the faith we shared in Jesus Christ. And Paul refers to him now as that kind of brother. He's simply referring to Tychicus. Tychicus says, one who's like a brother to him as a kinsman in Christ. You know, that's what each and every one of us need to have and need to be looked at. When one hurts, the other hurts. When one has a need, the other wants to help and is there to help with that need. I wonder how often that happens. I was at a funeral recently. I don't know the spiritual background of this man, and he just happened to be one of our neighbors. And the comment was made that made me think about this particular aspect of being the brother who wants to help. The comment was made how this individual was on his way to take his wife to the hospital. And when he had to get some gas, he pulled into the gas station, and he saw somebody there that had a flat tire. And so he immediately stops, goes over, assists that person in changing their tire, and then gets back in the car and takes his wife the rest of the way to the hospital. Now, I don't know how serious the wife situation was. Hopefully it wasn't too serious. But, you know, that's the kind of thing he's talking about. Somebody's got a need. The brother, we're there to help. We're there to help with that need. And Paul saw that person. I like the way Bill Gaither put it in his song, The Family of God. You'll notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family, and these are so near. When one has heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this side, for I'm part of the family of God. God's family is that special relationship of love. That's why he's called a beloved brother. It's an intimate kind of love, one that's really appreciated, one that joins them together. And I trust and pray that you have that same kind of love. And from what I hear about you, you do for one another. You care for one another. You're concerned about one another. And you're there to help when the need is there. So to be that kind of person, God calls us also to think special friendship, a special bond. But you notice there's something else that Paul calls Tychicus. He says he's a faithful minister. Now note these two words, faithful and minister. The Greek word pistos refers to someone so reliable and trustworthy that their words are like money in the bank. They're sure and certain. Bill Gothard kind of defines it as one who's dependable. Now, I have never seen Old Faithful. I hope to someday. Any of you been there and seen it? I'm told you can almost set your clock based on the eruption of Old Faithful. It goes off exactly, I think it's every half hour, it shoots up, you know, and it's dependable. And that's what Paul's saying here about Tychicus. He's dependable. I can rely on him. It's faithful frequently is used in regards to God. It describes God's relationship to us and who he is. He's faithful. He does not forget his promises. He doesn't give up on somebody. He doesn't quit. He's faithful, dependable, reliable. He's going to be there when you need him. That's who Paul's referring to. Oh, man. I must confess to you, there are times when I'm not quite that faithful because I think, oh, I really don't want to do that today. How do I really have to do that? Or why do I have to do that? Or, well, did you do this? Oh, no. I forgot. Here's one who's faithful, who's reliable, who's dependable. God calls us to be the same way. Then he also used that word minister. The word in the Greek is diakonos. Translated, it means deacon. And it's not referring to the church office of deacon, but rather to that idea of serving. It means to be a servant, an attendant, a waiter on tables. Acts 6 refers to the need when the apostles were there. You remember, they came together and they would have these common meals and stuff, but some were being ignored. And that was brought to the attention of the apostles. And the apostles, well, I mean, we can't serve tables and do all this and still continue to do what we've been called to do, to preach the gospel. We can't do it. And so they called the group together, and you remember, they elected some, and their whole purpose was to serve, to be waiters on table, to be attendants. Romans 16 refers to those responsible for caring for the sick and the poor. They would carry on the burdens of others and the task of others. So it's that kind of responsibility of being a servant, a waiter. Now, I don't know about you, the job of being a waiter in a restaurant does not excite me. Now, I apologize to you who are, because what you do is really wonderful, and it's greatly appreciated. But for me, like, we were at a restaurant in the UP yesterday, and the waitress somehow, accidentally, she got bumped or what, I don't know, but a whole tray of stuff fell on the floor. It was stuff she cleaned off the table. And so she had to go out and clean up all this stuff. Ooh, people had eaten or hadn't eaten and things to clean it all off the thing. They have quite a job to do. I don't really envy them, in all honesty. But yet, if God says, Roger, I want you to be a waiter, what am I going to do? What would you do? You see, that God calls us to be those kind of individuals, to be that kind of a servant, a faithful minister, willing to wait on tables, even if need be, for a tenant. And Tychicus was such a servant and waiter. He was always ready to help out Paul whenever the task was there. When Paul needed an errand to run, he would. You can almost imagine him coming in, well, Paul, what can I do for you today? You know, how can I help you today? Do you need a little lunch, or do you need something to drink, or can I go refill the inkwell for you? What do you need? That's the kind of person. Yeah. Oh, man, how we need those people today. So he was a faithful servant. We need those in our church today, people who are ready, always willing to volunteer to help. I remember in my church when I was pastoring in Odin, I had a man there who's since gone to be with the Lord. And he was that kind of a man. He would come and say, what can I do for you, dear pastor? Or if I was doing something, maybe a little project or something around the church, maybe I was going to clean a light bulb or change light bulbs or something. He says, oh, pastor, no. You don't have to, I'll do that. You get in your study the word. That's the kind of people we need and the church needs today. Those faithful servants that God calls into ministry. That's why he's given each of us a gift, an ability to serve him. Dependable people who are needed to help with the work of the church and the carrying and the furthering of the gospel. I know in my ministry with the kids, there's no way I can do it if I don't have faithful people who are willing to come and either help transport the kids or at least be in the class when I'm teaching there. Because I can't do it by myself. There's no way. So those kind of people are the people that are so appreciated. Then, you notice also, not as he called a deacon or that kind of minister, but he's also called a fellow servant. The Greek word means to be a slave or a servant. Sundalos in the Greek is different from the diakonos that we just spoke of. It means one who is a bond slave. They're bound as a slave. Now, again, I don't know about you, but I would not really appreciate being called a slave. Because that means I'm under the control and the authority of someone else. I'm chained, you might say, to them. And I do whatever needs to be done by them. And I don't complain about it as a slave. But when you think about it, think about what it said. For example, in 1 Corinthians 6:20, what does the Apostle Paul write to these Christians concerning who they are? In, as he writes to these people who are struggling and going through quite a bit of problems, he says, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So what is he saying? He says, you don't belong to yourself. You don't own yourself. You belong to someone else. I must confess this morning, even this came out in my own life, which I have to apologize for when I get home. I was doing all kinds of things, and not only thinking about this again this morning, but there were some dishes that quickly needed to be cleaned up and done, or I was getting ready for church, and she said, well, did you put the meat in the crock pot? I said, what do you mean, did I put the meat in the crock pot? You know, I didn't know it was my job today to do that. I'm doing the dishes and cleaning up, so and kind of a little tense moment there at the house, Well, you usually do that on Sundays, don't you? You know, because I'm over here getting ready to go. I got to leave in a few minutes. Okay, I'll do it. And put in the crock. Well, that is not the attitude that God calls us to have if we are certain. Servant is in the control of someone else. We humbly and willingly do what we're asked to do. We are bound to Jesus Christ by what he did when he shed on the cross, his blood on the cross. We're under him. We're his slaves now. We're under his command and rule and authority. We're his slaves. Do you think about yourself in that way? And being a bond slave of Jesus Christ, under his rule and authority, followers of Jesus Christ are slaves of the Lord. We serve together. We're not just separate entities doing this by ourselves, but jointly we serve for the same purpose of furthering the kingdom of God. Finally, notice his last comment in verse 8. Tychicus was asked to do a task. Paul was going to send him to the Colossian believers. They were concerned about Paul. They were worried about him. Wondered, was he still alive? How much suffering has he gone through? Have they been beating him? Does he have a need? What is it? They were concerned for him. Paul wanted to encourage them and comfort them, we read, by telling these Colossian believers what the Lord is doing while he's there in prison. He wants to somehow get word to them that, look, it's okay, my friends, because while I'm here, the word of God, the gospel is going forth, and people are being affected by it. He wanted them to know that and encourage them so they wouldn't feel so depressed or discouraged. He wanted to encourage them to keep pressing on and keep going with that gospel, no matter what. So as a result, he takes Tychicus and says, I want you to go share this with them. I want you to let them know how God is using this time to bring glory to his kingdom. Know that even though the situation looks bad, God is bringing about good. So I want you to bring a word of encouragement to those people. Let them know what God is doing. I read something I was not aware of here a while back about Henry Ford. And Henry Ford was just kind of starting his work on building the automobile. And he kept getting all these discouragements. And people were telling him, oh, that's not going to work, that's going to work. Of course, the buggy's what we're going to do all the time. Aren't you glad we're doing that now? You know, it was really saying it's not going to work. And he told about how one time he was at a meeting. It was a very memorable event to him at the beginning of his career. He made a drawing of a newly built engine for Thomas Edison. Young Ford had endured all that criticism and ridicule. Most mechanical experts of that day were convinced that electric carriages would be the popular passenger cars of the future. But attending a dinner one evening at which Edison was present, Ford began explaining his engine to men nearest him at the table. He noticed that Edison, seated several chairs away, was listening. Finally, the great man moved closer and asked the young inventor to make a drawing. When the crude sketch was complete, Edison studied it intently, then suddenly banged his fist on the table. Young man, he said, that's the thing. You have it. Years later, Ford recalled, the thump of that fist upon the table was worth worlds to me. The encouragement from somebody else to let them know that, hey, don't give up. Don't let criticism stop you from what you believe can happen. And as a result, we're not coming around in horse and buggy or electric charged vehicles. And we can thank God for that. It was because of encouragement. Encouragement, bearing the burdens of others, to lift them up as they struggle. In our world, Tychicus was a faithful servant, reliable, trustworthy, dependable. He did whatever was needed. I've been in ministry and shared, pastored many times, and I've shared with pastors many times. One of the things I find is how pastors say to me that sometimes I'm just overwhelmed with the work that needs to be done. Now, not only the vision of reaching the people in their community, but just the task of keeping the church moving forward. Yeah. And that's true because the burden they carry is so huge, so large, of handling the Word of God rightly and truthfully and proclaiming it boldly. Our pastors need prayer. And I know you do that for pastors. And I know he appreciates that. And I want to encourage you to keep doing it. Because they need you there. But it's difficult. I heard just recently of another pastor who's resigning from the ministry because he can't do it anymore. They need our encouragement. So when a task needs to be done, no matter how small, how large it might be, are you willing to be like, are you willing to be that faithful servant so the work can go on and on and on and on and on? Somebody summed it up this way. Somebody needs to do it,
We often hear people say, it's totally insignificant. It's totally insignificant job with absolutely no pay. No one may ever even know you were willing to pay the price, but somebody wants you to do it. That somebody is Jesus Christ. And in heaven's choir room, we gather around God's Son. He'll say, somebody had to do it. I'm so glad that you were the one. And I would pray that as we stand before the Lord someday, He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. But I must also say that those who are faithfully serving and being Paul's really need your prayers. I was telling my wife that as I get older, my age creeps up on me. I don't have the energy I used to have. Get more and more tired easily. You know, I'll do a class like this Wednesday. I'll finish, get home maybe about 3:15. I'll crash. I'm exhausted. You know, I don't get out there and start mowing the lawn right away anymore. You know, I'm doing different things. You know, my mind's a little slower in remembering certain things. But yet, God calls for that. And I have this week one of the more fuller weeks than I've ever had in a long time. And usually the end of the month is a little slower so I can get ready for next month. But I have four special meetings, beginning tonight over at Eastport Baptist Church from tonight through Wednesday. I have a couple of big release time classes, one in East Jordan, one here this week, and a chapel and other things. And I keep saying, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do it. Lord, you need to raise somebody else that can come in because, look, 65, it says so. In the government regulations, you can retire at 65. I'm well past that age, Lord. You know, come on, where's my retirement person that's coming in here? God keeps saying, well, wait a minute. Whoa. Where does the Bible do read retirement? Caleb was 80 years old, if I remember right, and he said, give me that mountain. I'm thinking, I'm lucky if I can ride one of the ski lifts up on Lloyd Mountain, let alone hike it. But that's just me. That's why I keep moving forward, because of the call of God. But I cannot do it. Pastors can't do it. Missionaries can't do it. Those in service to the Lord can't do it without you. Without your prayers, which you do, and I appreciate it so much. Without all the other little things you do as well. Come alongside and being served. Be thankful. Lord, thank you for the example of this little known legend. Guy, we never heard of him. But yet you put him there for a reason. To teach us the kind of character, the kind of qualities you want in us as followers of Jesus Christ. We're to be those faithful servants who give completely and totally. I'm called 24/7, willing to do whatever you want us to do. Help us to open our eyes and our ears and to be alert to those opportunities. And not say no. So Lord, thank you for these faithful people. Thank you for their prayers and the encouragement they provide for Pastor Casey. May they continue to do so. May you continue to bless this church as a result. We thank and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you again for letting me share with you today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Uncle Roger.